Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome live to CUTV News Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. It is 6 p.m. Eastern, so good evening to our East Coast friends and fans, and 3 p.m. Pacific. Good afternoon to our friends on the West Coast and everybody in between, no matter where you are. We welcome you to CUTV News Radio live worldwide. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We are very excited to welcome back a very, very special guest expert of ours who has had an opportunity to be on our air before and at our microphones as a special guest. And I've also had an opportunity to meet our guest in person when he came to the East Coast for a sit-down one-on-one TV video interview, which we had an opportunity to enjoy. Got a chance to spend a weekend and really learn about him personally and his journey and the work that he does. And he really is somebody who, once you get to know him, will not only become like a friend, but will definitely be somebody that will be a great resource for you in many, many different aspects of life, one of which is helping you through the dreaded C word. Now, this is a different C word than the one you're thinking about. This one is change. Change, in its simplest form, is the act of moving from a current state through a transitional state to a future state. Of course, makes sense, right? Well, many of us fear change. Many of us avoid it. We, you know, if change is on this path, we make a U-turn and head the other way sometimes. But change is inevitable, and a lot of times you have to deal with it. It's not change that you even implement. We can either wait for change to happen and react to it, or we can utilize change as a tool, and a positive tool. According to our guest, John Spenker, change is not a thing that has to be managed, but rather an energy source. See, if you just think of all these things with a different perspective, life becomes more easier and makes more sense and understandable. John is the author of Pivot Your Perspective, Your Change Journey. And we applaud him for this book because when I chatted with him last, a couple of months ago, the book was almost ready. And this has been a journey for him in preparing this book. And it's very, very important to him and meaningful to him. He spent a lot of time on it. And we're going to be sharing elements of it during this multi-part series that we're kicking off with part one today. John says he wants this book to be a tool for anyone seeking to reconnect with themselves, for anyone who feels frustrated or empty and has a hunger for more. This is a book that they can go back to time and time again. Now, a little bit on John. If you've missed our previous series with him or the video interview, John has spent the last 15 years as a catalyst for change through his practice, Synergistic Coaching and Consulting, based in San Francisco, California, where he specializes in change management for organizations, teams, and individuals. He says he wrote Pivot Your Perspective to help readers say yes to change and open doors to possibility, potential, and purpose. By understanding the pendulum of change, we can live the exceptional life that we are all meant to live. Now, he says, and this is very important to note, this book is not a 10-step program where everything comes together perfectly. Sometimes you see a lot of that out there with a lot of promises. This is about understanding change and realizing your active participation within it and recognizing that what we gain from the experience striving for our goals better than the goals itself. Really, focusing on the actions as opposed to the result. To John, change is the propulsion of our life's journey. A change framework helps us to make informed choices, and each and every experience we create for ourselves is an opportunity to learn, and learning is an essential part of the change propulsion framework. Let's welcome back to CU TV News Radio as we kick off this new series with our guest John Spenker of Synergistic Coaching and Consulting, and again, author of Pivot Your Perspective, Your Change Journey. Let's welcome back John Spenker to our show. John, great to have you with us. I know you've been traveling all over. You just got back from a fabulous trip in Europe. Good to have you with us, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back. Thank you so much.
So let's get into, well, congratulations first on the book, because I know when I chatted with you last, it was very exciting that you were working on the book. So we're going to touch upon that as we go along. But as I said, you've been a guest on our show before, and it's really wonderful to have you back with us. Let's, again, sort of reacquaint you with our audience or introduce you to the new listeners who might not be aware of the incredible work you do. Tell us a little bit about your background and maybe even why the listeners should invest their trust in you when it comes specifically to change. I could tell them a million reasons why, but I would love to hear it from you.
Yeah. First of all, it's just really good to be back, and this is my favorite topic. It comes up in every aspect of what I do, and it's an outcome for me of a lifelong journey. So coming from, I think, a formulative background, you know, through education and through my career, it's been something that's been consistent for me. And I've always been curious, and I'm an avid learner. So I'm always reading and digging in and trying to understand and ask why. And something in that work I kind of touched into, which was that change isn't something that I need to shy away from or have apprehension from or worry about, but instead it's just really functional. You know, it's like getting up in the morning and, you know, having your day and completing your day and winding yourself up. You know, it's just part of this process. And if you can become informed, you know, about the process itself and kind of understand the dynamics and potentially the organic nature of it, then I can better use the framework, right, to kind of pivot myself and propel myself forward, which is kind of where the energy and inertia part comes from. So there's definitely a piece in here about understanding the framework and just like a map, right? You can get some orientation. You kind of know which direction you're going. You can get your bearings. You can travel a little clearer, you know, and you know what to avoid or you know what to be aware of. And that's part of the key of getting something out of the journey as opposed to just the outcome. Outcomes are great, and we definitely want those. But that flavor of the journey itself and how this change framework really, really, really supports you to live a fuller life, you know, at the end of the day and get the outcomes that you're looking for.
Absolutely, and that everybody deserves. So then why did you choose to write specifically a book about change, John? I mean, there's certainly no shortage of books out there designed to help people. What do you think distinguishes Pivot Your Perspective, Your Change Journey?
That's a great question. I think a couple things I would say, being in the an industry where, you know, change consulting is going on prominently. First, there's lots of great resources out there about change frameworks and different methodologies. And I honestly don't have one that's better than the other. I think together, all the methodologies kind of really give you a very comprehensive framework and tools to work with, which is great. What I found, I think, on the individual level, and it could be individuals in a corporate setting or individuals one-on-one, just an everyday person that I might be coaching, as opposed to a CEO or a particular team of individuals within an organization, is that their personal relationship with change needed some conversation and needed to have an opportunity to be expressed and to be learned and to be sorted. It's one thing to look at the frameworks and the fundamentals and the tactics, and then there's this other lens, which is who you are in the framework and what you have learned from your, I call it your tribe, you know, your, as you grew up, your familial background, your environment, your socioeconomic structures, et cetera. They've all fed you to kind of embrace or not embrace change, or to have certain predominant beliefs around change that impact you regardless of your understanding of the framework. So in that kind of vacuum of the framework itself and your own personal relationship with change is kind of where this book came from. So there's a definitely a grounding in methodology, and then there's a behavioral component, which is who you are in that methodology and what you need to be aware of. This is about, I use the term omnipotent observer, being the most observant person that you can be of what change is. If you understand, kind of like a Monopoly board, you understand the direction of the game. You know where the go-to-jail spot is. You know where the pick-up $200 is at. You know where to bypass if there's a hotel, right, and you don't want to pay your opponent a bunch of money. If you understand that, then you can, great, that helps you navigate, and then you can understand your apprehension to, you know, being close to the go-to-jail or being close to collect your $200. If you could understand who you are, you know, in that framework, that prevents, or I don't say prevents, it actually supports you to make a more aware choice. And that's really the key at the end of the day, is the more at choice we are, the more freedom we have, and the more opportunity we have to kind of really capture our goals. And also sometimes fast track ourselves, get to the end result faster, you know, with a little more expedition. I don't necessarily mean time, but it can mean strife or churn. It's our ability to kind of get to where we need to as efficiently and peacefully, right, as we can. So you can enjoy the experience and enjoy the outcomes.
Absolutely. Now, we all make assumptions, of course, when it comes to change. We have different thought processes when it comes to change. What would you say, John, are some of the assumptions that people make from your experience and what you've seen and heard about change? I know for myself, I've never been like the biggest fan of change, or at least sudden change. I like a little warning so we can get prepared. I've never been right. A good goodbye person either. But what are some of those assumptions?
Yeah, I think, you know, it varies, obviously. It's like it's a pendulum that swings. And I think there's a common trait in folks. There's either are kind of somewhat uncomfortable, which can show up in many different ways for people, which could be elements of being stressed or having distress. It can be avoidance behavior. And it can go towards folks. There's a lot of folks out there that are like jump in head first. You know, they have that tendency to like get in and kind of overcompensate in change. And when they do that, they can kind of miss some of the clues along the way and some of the signage, you know, within the framework itself, and kind of in the thrust of trying to move quickly can kind of create a little more work for themselves. It just really varies by the person. But I do think at the end of the day, the common thread that I see is this perspective that this is a framework, you know, like just like picking up a Monopoly board and reading the instructions, that if you're informed a little bit about how, you know, the framework works, you can get to this place of being of choice, which will help you manage whatever those apprehensions or, you know, behaviors that you might go to as you feel about change, you know, your reluctancy or overcompensating, et cetera. It gives you that freedom, a little more freedom anyway.
Mm. Now, of course, we're talking about fearing change, alluding to that a little bit. Many people do fear change, but as I said in the beginning, you know, change is inevitable, is it not? I mean, it's a part of life.
Right.
It's part of the cycle of life. You can either wait for change to happen and react to it, or you can get out in front of change and sort of design it into your own terms. Look at it from the positive way. Maybe it is. Maybe change is good, a refresher, looking at things from a different perspective, moving forward. You know, once change happens, sometimes it's the best thing that's ever happened to somebody, right?
That's right, exactly. And this kind of gets to the nucleus of the propulsion piece, which is, you know, outcomes, you know, change itself, if we kind of take a step back and have the perspective that it is merely a framework, and there's various signposts and tools that we can use within the framework. By signposts, I mean indicators. You know, we look for indicators. It's like a map. You're navigating it. You know, says your nav tells you, you know, in 2 miles you're going to be exiting, right? You get an indicator. You get to get ready to get over to the right and get ready to exit the expressway and get ready to get onto a surface street. If we know what the indicators are to look for, we can kind of be in that transaction and be in that flow a little bit better. And this idea of propulsion. That, you know, change is natural and organic, which doesn't seem foreign when I talk to people or I'm in consult with them. But when you say it to them, sometimes they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. If I'm changing, I'm moving. There's some sort of transition. I'm going from today to tomorrow, right? I'm moving. And with that is some energy and some inertia. And if I think of it that way, like if I'm not changing, then there's no energy happening. That's a very different way to look at change. It's almost like, well, I want change to happen, you know, because I want to get to my goals. I want to get to these outcomes. I want to achieve whatever it is that I'm seeking to achieve. And if I kind of, it's almost putting the carrot out in front of me. If I'm able to kind of entice myself a little bit with change, not even throw the label change is good. You know, I would love to do that. But if I can just start with change is this, it's a propulsion. It's a way for me to get to where I need to go. And oh yeah, by the way, there's going to be outcomes, you know, good, bad, or indifferent from the change activity. But if I'm always learning as I go, then I propel the outcomes into the next change event and kind of move my way forward. So that if there's a bad outcome, what am I learning from that? You know, and how am I bringing those learnings back to the next decision that I need to make? You know, and how is it better informing? What did I learn by making a mistake that better informs me about what it is that I really want? Or in the case of like writing this book, informing myself of, you know, what I'm really good at and not good at. I'm good at ideating, but I wasn't good at writing. You know, and I could have very well said, I use the example in my book, you know, I'm not sure I have anything. It's really hard for me to sit down and write. I'm not sure if I have really anything to share. Well, in part that was true, but when I broke it apart, and we'll talk a lot about the what and the how, I learned that I'm good at the what, the ideating. I mean, I had the book already sort of framed up, but sitting in and writing it, the how was not my strong suit. So I was able to focus on, well, what do I need? I need help with the how. So if I'm able to source that and find a resource or a tool or a person or a team that helps me do that, that transforms the ideas into words, then I'm able to achieve my outcome. And that's a really great example of the framework. You know, the framework is something as simple as using something like the what and the how, pulling what I want, my goal, apart into two pieces. I want to create this book, and that requires me to have a good idea, and it requires me to be able to write. But not often do we pull that apart and really say, am I a good writer? Am I a good ideator? Right? And then there's this leveraging those resources and people around you that can help you with your gaps or your deficits so that you can achieve your goal. Frameworks are super powerful. And I think change itself is powerful. And when you can harness the framework and kind of get comfortable with it, just can really achieve and really make some good headway. Pretty amazing.
It really, really is. So like you said, in this way, change really serves as a propulsion in many, many, many respects. Chapter 2 is titled Unpacking the What and the How. It's very, very intriguing. What do you mean by that? And what is the what? And what is the how,
yeah.
John? I know that's a loaded couple of questions there, but...
There's a lot there, and it's interesting because this concept is, I think, true for most clients that I work with as well. There's a few themes that are kind of embedded in these two words, the what and the how. So we'll kind of take a journey through them for a second. So the what is, you know, the idea. The what, you know, clearly, what do we want to achieve? It could be the goal. It could be an outcome. It could be the book, you know, the ideas that are in the book. And typically for you and I and those listening, we can be right or left brained. And I think that sometimes is known or understood, but we don't really think about it. So if I have a tendency to be left brained, I'm more analytical, I'm process, I'm sequential. You know, I get into the minutia of things. I like to get into the detail. If I'm right brained, I might be more interrelated. And, you know, I like to see the relational aspects of things. I like to see the big picture. Oh, yeah, and then, by the way, I'll maybe get down into the detail. And I think having that understanding of how we operate is really helpful, because then, you know, in the coaching conversations and even with teams, we're trying to reach outcomes. And if we're not really looking at ourselves and where we have a tendency, you know, over time, I'm 48, over time, I tend to be left-brained. Right. And so that means I'm going to be that process, the tactics. I don't spend a lot of time on the what. And what was interesting here for the book was I had the what, but I didn't have the how. It was almost opposite of what I have traditionally, a situation that I would have traditionally found myself in. So I was really stuck for a long time because I was like, oh, you know, this is the book and these are the things I'm going to do. And I had a really hard time with it because that wasn't my skill set. So I, again, using the framework of change and taking a moment to look at the situation, like, okay, so what's my tendency? How am I problem solving? You know, do I use a right or left brain approach, or am I pretty blended? And then this what or the how, you know, do I focus on the idea, or is it the how, the tactics? You know, and I think as people listen to this, they will reflect and go, yeah, I sit and make a to-do list and I punch out all these tasks and different things I need to do. And maybe their example is they go through all of these steps and tasks and hoops and hurdles, and then they're frustrated because they're not close to their goal, because maybe they haven't taken the time to talk about the what, or the right brain, which is the ideation, sitting and being still and really thinking about what it is that you want. And that could be something, I use the example of often as a painter, you know, go paint me a picture. That you know, is a pretty straightforward statement. But if I really, really unpack that, I might be saying, you know, is it portrait or landscape? Is it on canvas or wood? You know, is it oils or watercolor? Crayon, charcoal, you know, is it still life? Once you really start to unpack the what, there's a lot more to it. And the more we really understand the texture and the nuance and embody the what, it makes those steps, those tactics, succinct and clearer. Because I might choose different steps, right? If my what is really clear. And so there's, like I said, there's a lot in there, but that simple aspect of the what and how can be really transformative for people. They can be stuck for many years, like I was in writing. And until you get to that point where you look at things and unpack it a little bit, you're like, oh, I really wasn't stuck. I just was focused on the wrong thing.
Exact. Focused on the what the versus what.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
How does separating, you feel, John, the what and the how really help us navigate this change we're talking about? What would be maybe a good example of this, sort of like a real-world example, and what was the end result?
Yeah, I think in the business world, yeah, I've given some personal examples, but you know, in the business world, you know, teams can not have a very good vision and mission, you know, if we use those terms, understanding where an organization is going. And so they have a hard time putting the steps, the tactics together. You know, again, what being the mission and vision, and the how being a project or anything else, it's the steps and tasks that lead to those outcomes that you're looking for. And so you'll have teams that are doing lots of great things, but not achieving the outcome because they've never had a real thorough understanding of the what, you know, the mission or vision of the organization, or how that mission and vision of the organization is diluted, you know, and brought down into their own group, right? Because you have this macro vision for the organization, but you have your own group has something very specific related to your group function that connects to the bigger goal. And so if we don't take time to unpack that and have a good understanding of that, then, you know, no matter, you know, how many classes we send people to develop a good plan and to work on time management and do all these wonderful things, we're really actually not solving the actual problem, which is, you know, understanding what the goal is and what that means to them so that they can then formulate a plan. You know, and for myself, again, it's the book. For other clients, it can be simply, I think what I see is a feeling outcome, such as I'm frustrated, I'm spending a lot of time, I'm spinning my wheels. The term Groundhog Day comes up quite a bit. I just feel like I'm doing the same thing all the time. That's usually, to me, again, go to the example of the Monopoly board. So I'm getting close to go, you know, collect my $200. I'm getting close to, you know, go to jail. I'm getting close to Park Place with the hotel on it. I'm getting close. There's signposts. And so then it cues me to start asking the questions around the what and the how, so that they're pausing, you know, in their mental landscape and going, wait a minute, you know, am I paying attention to where I'm at? What's my orientation, you know, so that I can then be at choice and make better decisions about where I need to better understand something. Am I better understanding my how, my steps, my tasks? Do I need to better understand the big picture? That's pretty transformative for people and also very simple at the same time.
Absolutely. Basically, you know, the lessons that you outline in this book are really meant to be implemented sort of in a corporate context, but the lessons really can apply to anyone confronting change, John. What do you hope readers take away from Pivot Your Perspective, Your Change Journey?
You know, I think you did such a nice job of serving up this content as we got started. I think the only thing I would add is there's a comfortability factor that we have with change. So there's the tactical, the framework, our ability to shift the way we think of change, and then there's this piece of who we are, the emotional part, and the behavioral piece that I think is embedded in here. And it's that ability to be comfortable. It doesn't mean you have to like it. Being comfortable is different than saying I like it or I dislike it. It's just saying, you know, I'm going to be okay with it. You know, I can still not like it. I can still be apprehensive, or I can still want to shy away from it. And that's okay for now. But I'm going to get to a place where I can be more comfortable. It gives people a little bit of room, you know, to work with it. And if they can do that, that's the first big step. That'd be great.
First big step. You'll be back with us in 2 weeks, and we'll delve in even deeper, John. Appreciate your time with us again. John Spenker, author of Pivot, Your Perspective, Your Change Journey. Check out more about John by going to his website. That's Spenker.com, Spenker.com. John, thanks a million for joining us, and we look forward to joining us again on our next episode together.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
You are very, very welcome. This is Jim Masters, CUTV News Radio. For all of us here, thank you for joining us as well. Have a great day.